For unto us a son is born, unto us a child. Sorry, let me start over. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Good morning to each one of you. It's good to be back here again this morning. Worship here at home after being gone for a weekend or two. Sure is good to gather in here again. Trust that you're all having a blessed and happy holiday weekend. Maybe I'll say right at the outstart, I have been having some trouble with my voice lately, so as of late, anyway, it seems like after I talk a while, it starts to get a little not so good. So if that happens, bear with me. It's not probably as bad as it sounds. But I trust the Lord will enable me and, cover your prayers in that. Hopefully it will. My voice won't detract from the Word of God this morning. For a starting verse, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. I do not plan this morning to read the actual gospel accounts that we have of Christ's birth. Hopefully you're not too disappointed by that. Maybe you had a chance to do that yesterday or previous here. But I was drawn to a verse here as I thought about this time of the year and Americans. In our land, it's pretty common practice to give gifts, a lot of gift giving, right? Maybe some of us get pretty heavily involved with that ourselves. Maybe some not so much. I understand there's different backgrounds and so forth. Some do, some don't, as far as gift giving goes. But I'd like to focus more this morning on God's gift to us this morning, the gift of His Son as a Jesus sent to earth as a baby. And the verse that I'd like to use for a starting verse here is verse 15 of chapter 9. Last verse. It simply says this: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And I take my title from that verse as well. I'd simply give my title, God's Unspeakable Gift. And I'm not planning to spend a lot of time here otherwise, I don't believe. It seems, as I looked at the background of this verse here, it seems like in this chapter, Paul was talking to the Corinthians here, and he was addressing their giving, maybe. Different things about their giving, not just giving out of necessity or grudgingly. We see that in verse 7. Be a bountiful giver. And right here at the end of that, the last verse of that chapter, in talking about that, he concludes that it seems by reminding them of God's gift. What God gave. And I thought it was significant, and I think it's very good for all of us to maybe think about our giving and with that in mind, of consider what God has given for us. And as we think about that, the little we give, the little we can give or sacrifice, however big or small, it's hardly comparable, isn't it, to what God has given. Well, this morning I'd like to maybe look at this, go about this in three main parts. First of all, I'd like to think about the giver, and then secondly, the gift, and then thirdly, us as recipients of the gift, our response to the gift. That's usually what we have when we think of gift giving. Not we have a giver, and we have a gift, and we have a receiver. Well, first of all, let's consider the giver a little bit here. Well, that giver is God, of course. God gave the unspeakable gift of His only begotten Son to come to the earth and finally give His life for our sin. Think about the love of the giver. And we did talk a bit about that in the Sunday school lesson, didn't we? The great love God had for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, when we give gifts, most times we give gifts to someone that we love and appreciate, right? At least that's what I'm used to. Maybe you give a gift to your wife, or you give a gift to your husband, or those in your family, maybe your dad or mom. Or maybe an employer gives a gift to an employee. You know, makes the employee feel good about working for him, at least hopefully, and feel like family. You know, many times I think, you know, we give gifts to people that are close to us and really that we're going to feel love in return. We're going to feel appreciation in return many times. But you know, God's love, the love of the giver, God the giver, was much greater than that. You know, God didn't give this gift to such wonderful and lovely persons, did He? At least that's what I see as I read my Bible. It says in Romans 5:8, that God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As I was thinking about that, you know, imagine just giving the best thing you have or can think of that you have. Your most precious and valuable possession, and give that to someone that is just totally unlovely. Someone you know that they're probably gonna smash it and ruin it, and it's gonna be junk after that. And they might. Yeah, that you're just sure that they won't appreciate the gift. Maybe they'll ignore you. Well, we can hardly wrap our minds around that, can we? Because that's just not what we're used to. We give to those we love and appreciate. But you know, that is exactly what God did in giving. He gave His only begotten Son, the best that He had, for those humankind that were not very likable. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Even when we were dead in sins, it says, God loved us. The great love of God, the giver. Another thing, you know, God the giver is and was perfect. Maybe this fits better under looking at considering the gift part, but James 1:17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God was the perfect giver. He is the perfect giver. And He knew what was best for us and for our salvation. You know, if us as the human race, if we had to come up with a solution to this sin problem, if we had to figure out the way to be righteous before a holy God, it'd be a failure. We would have messed it up royally. But God is our creator. He made us. He knew just what we needed. He knew that we needed a sinless Savior. You know, in giving a gift as human people, we're not like that. We're not always like that. We're not always perfect. We don't always choose the best gift or the gift that the particular person we're thinking of would appreciate the most. I remember one time I brought home for my wife a flowering plant from the store. Well, when I got home right away, she pointed out here it was a fake plant. I hadn't even caught on. It wasn't the gift I had in mind. But when God does something, He does it right. It's perfect. Another point on God as the giver. You know, God is a gracious giver. He's generous. You know, as we think about that, we were unworthy. We were all unworthy of this gift that God gave. Didn't deserve it a bit. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. In Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. You know, we were all just a bunch of rebels wanting our own way. And what's the result of that? The result of our choices was to be death. The wages of sin is death. That's what we really deserved. We didn't deserve God's love and mercy at all in His gift. Another verse from Psalm 103, verse 10. Well, maybe I'll read verse 8 as well. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath, verse 10, skipping to verse 10 there, he says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God's gracious. He's a gracious giver. Is that how you feel about God? That God has been good to you? He's a gracious God. Or do you feel like God has dealt you a bad hand, so to speak? And it's not been fair with you. I trust that you can see God as a good and gracious and generous giver. Well, moving on here to looking more at the gift. What is the gift that we're thinking of here? Well, it's the only begotten Son of God, who gave His life, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what does it say here in the verse we started out with? It says, it's an unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. What does that word mean? I'd understand it this morning to mean undescribable. There's no word in, there's not words or enough words in the English language or the Greek or the Hebrew, Spanish, whatever language there is, there's not enough words or they're not adequate to describe this gift. It's beyond description. And you know, I thought about it. Here I am this morning trying to do just that, trying to put into words to describe this gift or to explain it to you, to show this gift. Well, we're not going to succeed in explaining this gift. There's no amount of words would suffice to explain it, the gift of God. But we're to proclaim the good news of the gospel anyway, aren't we? And you know, being undescribable, like we said, you know, it's unlike all other gifts that I can think of anyway. You know, earthly gifts that we give. You know, there's some that may be really valuable, really important, maybe there's some things you can think of that if you were given, you know, it would take your breath away. You know, if someone gave me $1 million for a gift, I'd probably be speechless. I'd be so surprised. That's not too likely to happen, I'm sure. And that would be an extravagant gift, wouldn't it? But you know, as generous or extravagant as that would be, it's not indescribable. You know, after all, it's only earthly money. You could spend it could be gone as fast as you got it. And sooner or later, it would be gone. But the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, is unspeakable. It's not like that. It's without describable value. Well, what else is this unspeakable gift? It's a free gift. It's free. Free to whosoever will. That's what a gift is, right? If a friend gives you a gift, says, here's a gift for you, you don't expect them to come to you later and say, well, that was actually $50 there for that gift. No, a gift is free. And this gift, this invaluable gift, this gift without description, unspeakable gift, is free. Romans 5, verse 18, some verses like this that would point that out to us. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We have another familiar verse there in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Gift of salvation is free. And it's free for all. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But what else is this unspeakable gift? Well, it's also invaluable. You know, that gift cost Jesus everything. It wasn't free on the part of Jesus. Just like most gifts that we give or receive. You know, if you give a gift to me, that gift I got for free. But you know, to you it wasn't free. It might represent a certain dollar amount or an amount of hard work or effort. There's some kind of cost there. Of course, unless it was given to you before that. But somewhere, somehow, there was a cost. There was a value. There is a value for that gift. And with Jesus Christ, that gift cost everything. He gave His life. He gave His lifeblood for you and I, and the whole world for our salvation. It was an unspeakable sacrifice for our sins. Well, what else is this unspeakable gift? Well, the sin problem is now solved. Our sins are cleansed and removed away as far as the east is from the west. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins aren't just covered over. I think we talked about that earlier in class, didn't we? They're not just covered over, but they're removed. You see, before the time of Jesus, before this gift God gave to us, remember the Israelites, they offered sacrifice after sacrifice, year after year. Those sins were just covered. They had to offer another sacrifice for the sins of that year. Not so anymore. our sins can be removed. What else is this unspeakable gift? Well, not only are our sins removed, but we have the gift of the Holy Spirit within. Holy Spirit power to guide us and give us power to live above sin. Live in victory over sin. There's no need to live in sin anymore and defeat. Jesus didn't just come and give his life and go back to the Father, but he left the Comforter with us. He left the Holy Spirit with us. The gift of the Holy Spirit we receive. And there's verses like in Acts 2, I believe it is, verse 38, that refer to the Holy Spirit as a gift. Peter talking there, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And there's other verses that would point that out. Remember that time Simon the sorcerer, you know, he thought he was going to give money to get the gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe it was. And Peter harshly rebuked him for thinking that he could buy the gift of God, I think it says there, that he could buy that with money. He was strongly rebuked. This unspeakable gift is Holy Spirit power within us. Well, what else is this unspeakable gift? It's also life eternal. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life. Another verse. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Everlasting life is part of this unspeakable gift. Well, last of all, what about us as receiving this unspeakable gift? Us as recipients of this gift? Well, as I thought about that, you know, first of all, you need to receive it. You know, if you give me a gift and I just leave it sitting there on the ground or wherever and walk away, that gift doesn't do me any good. And, you know, it's the same with the salvation, the gift of salvation God has given to us. You know, if I'm simply aware of it, yes, Jesus died for my sins, but I go on with my life. You know, that gift doesn't profit me anything, does it? But I need to personally make a choice to receive this gift. God doesn't force it on me or you. The gift is there for receiving, but you and I need to choose. Well, how do we receive this gift? Romans 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Another verse, Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There's faith needed. Faith needed to believe in God's power. That's how you receive the gift. I see there's confession needed. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And you know, right here is where I believe a lot of folks like to stop. You know, the cost is relatively low up to this point. It's a free gift, right? It's a free gift for everyone. But you know, to those who accept the gift, there's a cost. And I believe it's a cost that so many don't want to risk. Because you don't know what the cost is going to be. You put your life in the hands of God. and you forsake all of yourself. And God decides where it goes from here. Luke 14:33, Jesus speaking, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Another verse from Luke chapter 9, verse 62. "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." This gift costs everything. The gift of God is free, but the cost of receiving it is high. Well, what else is our response as those who receive this gift? Well, I believe one response for sure should be thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Praise and thanks we give to God for this unspeakable gift he's given. That should be our response. And also, thanks living, right? You know, if I'm truly thankful for a gift, if I'm truly thankful for the gift that God has given to me and what he's done in my life, you know, living for him, letting God be in control, you know, that's really not a burden. It really isn't that big a burden, is it? If I'm truly thankful, because it's what I want to do. What else do we do as those who have received this gift? Well, we share this gift with others, don't we? And I think Brother Keith brought that out already. Thank you for those thoughts, Keith. You know, there's some gifts that you can't share with others and still have yourself. You know, if I have a $100 bill and I give it to you, you take it. Well, it's yours now. I don't have it. We can't both have it. Well, we could tear it in half, I guess, but probably wouldn't be honored at either your bank or mine. But the gift of God is not like that. I can share it with someone else, and there's enough for me still. There's enough for that person. There's enough for everyone. It's free, and it's for all. Well, what am I doing as a receiver, as a recipient of this unspeakable gift? This unspeakable gift of salvation that God has given to us. You know, am I like that lazy servant that Jesus talked about, who had that, was it one talent, and digged in the ground and put it in and buried it? Is that what I'm doing with my gifts, what God has given to me? Or am I spreading the news? Am I sharing with others? The free gift is for everyone, no matter who it is. Politicians, telemarketers, drunkards, druggies, whatever class of persons you wanna put in there, whether lovely or unlovely. It's for everyone. And like Keith mentioned, it's not just a good sounding story. Sure, it is a good story, but it's much more than that. It's the salvation of men's souls to eternal life. Well, God bless you this morning and this holiday weekend as you give gifts. But let's remember especially the great gift that God has given to us. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Let's kneel for prayer.